Fallon, and today's episode is on Kron. Last time we were talking, I was talking about Mash Potter, and I said that I ran Mash Potter using the Kron. And so it's probably a good idea if we explain what Kron is and give you some examples of how to get it going. So first of all, a little bit of history, what Kron is. From Wikipedia, Kron is a time-based job scheduler on Unix-like operating systems. The name Kron comes from the word chronograph, so I suppose it should be Kron. Anyway, Kron enables users to schedule jobs that are command or scripts to run automatically at a certain date or time. Now, that might seem very simple thing, but as we all know, Unix tries to have small, simple things that do one job and do it well. And Kron has been doing a very good job for itself since for over 30 years now, from when it was originally written by Brian Kernighan in the Unix 7 days. Now, the version we know under the GPL was written by Paul Vixey back in 1987 and has been extended and expanded since then. So why might you be interested in Kron? Well, professionally, if you're anyway interested in life as a Unix admin or Windows admin or a Linux admin, you really need to know Kron inside and out. Even if you're a Windows admin, it's absolutely no harm to know how Kron works. It's not that complicated. A few minutes will sort you out on how to use it. In the show notes, there will be three or four links to various Kron how-tos, including the man pages, which are very readable. And if you go through those, spend a half an hour or an hour, you will have Kron sorted for the most part. There are a few gotchas to do with time zones. It's always a good idea to have everything set to UTC and work variations from that. There are other things like what Kron will do in situations where there's a leap year or going from winter time to summertime. In every event, it will do its best to run the job, but it will avoid running a job twice. So little gotchas like that. But what it does for you is it will allow you to turn your computer from something that's statically waiting for your input the whole time to something that you can go, okay, here, go off and do this for me every day, go off and do that for me every day. And it might be go and update this every 5 minutes, or it might be, well, there's a new news article comes out from somebody every Monday morning, so check it just every Monday morning. Or you might have a comic strip that comes down 5 days a week, so check 5 days a week, but don't check on the weekends, that sort of thing. And if you think that's kind of simple, I can tell you that virtually every Unix system that I've come across, and I've come across some pretty big ones, have been driven by Kron on the back end. So a lot of people would not be getting paid. There would be a lot more harm done than was predicted around the year 2000 if Kron suddenly stopped working in the morning. Okay, there are two parts to Kron. There's the Kron daemon, which I'm not going to cover too much, but it is covered in these links that I've got in the show notes. It uses a slightly different file to the Kron that we're going to be using, and that's because it allows you to run commands as a different user. So if you're running billing, you might want to run the Kron job as a root user, but with the user billing, for instance. You'll find the Kron files located in, / user spool Kron for the user Kron jobs. And you'll find them in / etc in possibly subdirectory called cron hourly, cron daily, cron weekly, cron monthly. So if you do a locate cron on your command line, you'll they'll all start flying past. As I said, I'm not going to talk too much about that. There are some similarities between the two cron files. So, first of all, before we're running cron, let's talk a little bit about bash scripting. And the bash script, we're going to write a little bash script now, our first program. If you're ever wanted to be a programmer, this is your big chance. So if you open up a file, if you can create a directory in your home directory called bin, so your home directory is probably going to be in slash home and your username, and then if you may have a directory called bin there, if you don't, create one. And then you can put a file in there called hello, just hello, using a text editor, and you put the following command in, and this of course will be in the show notes. The Octothorpe, which is called the pound sign in the US, but we know it's the tic-tac-toe sign. So hash, well, let's call it hash then. Hash exclamation mark forward slash bin forward slash bash and the new line. Echo space double quotes hello space world double quotes and save your file. What that does is it tells when it's run by when we're going to run it, it will tell whatever process that's running which shell to run this in. So it's going to be a bash program, it says, and it'll use the command hello. It'll use the word echo to echo hello world to the screen. Now if you try running that, so by typing backslash home backslash your username backslash bin backslash hello, you will get a permission denied. And the reason for that is on Unix systems, you need to explicitly give permissions to files to run. Now, on a Windows system, if it's called exe or .com or .bash, bat, it will be considered an executable and it will run it. On Unix, you could have a .exe file that's a text file. You could have a hello.txt that's a script. So you've got to be careful. And you have to look for the executable bit. So if you type a ls minus al, you'll see x's. We won't go into that right now, but actually, I'll make a note that there might be a good episode for later on if somebody's interested in doing a HPR on file permissions. Anyway, what we want to do here is we want to make that an executable file. So you do that by typing in the command line again. CHMOD, that's change mod space plus and then a small x space slash home slash your username slash bin slash hello. And then if you type slash home slash your username slash bin slash hello and press enter, hello world will come up on the screen. It's great. Congratulations, you've written your first bash script. Now, if you wanted to put additional commands in there, it's very, very simple. So if there is anything that you do on the command line quite often, so you might do cd backslash home backslash my user directory backslash podcasts, do cp to somewhere else. Anyway, you can put all those commands in that file and it will run. Now let's have that tell cron to go and run that for us, and we want to run it on a particular schedule. But usually when you're testing bash scripts, what you do is you tell it to run it every minute of every hour of every month of every day or what, whatever. Every minute, every hour, every day of the month, every day of the week. That's what you'll do. So we don't edit cron tabs manually ourselves, and the reason for that is, first of all, crontab will do some sanity checking on it to make sure that we don't have any syntax errors in our file. But secondly, it'll modify the mod time of the file, and that will indicate to the cron daemon whether it needs to open up the file and reparse it to become aware of additional commands and when it needs to schedule those. Okay, the crontab command itself has four different options. The one that we're going to use right now is crontab space dash l, and if you type that in, you will see possibly some injuries, or you might see the command or they reply, no cron tab for, and your username. So that's absolutely fine. If you want to get rid of a cron file at any time, you type cron tab minus r and it'll remove it. And there's another option, cron tab dash u, which will allow you to edit somebody else's file. So sudo space cron tab dash u space billing might edit the billing user's cron file. Okay, but option we're most interested in right now is the dash e file, which will allow you to edit a cron tab. So if you go ahead and type cron tab dash e, it will probably say no cron tab for your username using an empty one. And if you look in there and you exit out of it without saving, it'll come back to the prompt and it'll say no modifications made. Okay, however, if you do edit that file, and even if it is an empty one, some distributions will have like a cheat sheet on the first line. On my Debian system, I have the hash command, which we've come across before, but except in the first line of a script, it is a comment file, so it comments out that, so it will be ignored by the cron daemon when it's processing the file. And we have mhdom MON DOW space and the command. And what all that good stuff is it gives you a little hint about what each column in this table file are. Now, in Unix, you might come across cron tab or fs tab or other sort of tab files, and what they are considered is they're considered table files. So the cron tab file means that it's formatted in a specific way, so it's going to be interpreted by the cron daemon in a certain order. And if things aren't where it expects it or have the wrong values, then you're going to get an error back. And the things that it expects are in the first five fields are indications of the time you want to run this at, and then the sixth field is the command itself that you want to run. Now, the command we're going to be running is slash home, slash your username, slash bin, and hello, and that's the command. But what we want to do, first of all, is we want to, rather than run that at 6 o'clock in the morning and then have to debug, wait a whole day before it's run again, what we tend to do is we put it in and we tell it to run every minute of every hour of every day of the month of every month, whatever. And to do that, we'll use the asterisk, which is a symbol of every. So if you edit that file and you on a new line, so after if there's a comment in there, just edit the file and type an asterisk space asterisk space asterisk space asterisk space asterisk space slash home slash your username slash bin slash hello. And if you save that file, and then what you will probably see is crontab installing new crontab. And that tells you that the crontab daemon is now going to process that file, and on the hour, it will, on the, sorry, when the minute flags from 59 to 0, it will process that file and execute the command inside of that. Now, one of the things that we're going to notice about this is that the command isn't actually going to do anything because it's echoing out to the screen. So that's not a whole lot of use to us. So what we might want to do is we can put in certain variables in at the top of the file to email that to a certain location. But what most people tend to do is they tend to redirect the output of their files to another location. So you might redirect that using the greater than symbols. So if we edit the file again and we type, we go to the end of the line where it has five asterisks forward slash home username, and at the end after home we put in a space, the greater than slash home slash your username and slash hello dot output. And if you save that file and exit after a minute, that file called hello.output will appear in your home directory. So essentially, you have now a working cron file. If we edit that file again, and at the end of that file where we have hello.output, we put in the greater than sign. Oh, sorry, we put in instead of the greater than sign, we put in the so we have the command greater than slash home username hello.output, and then we have the number 2, and we have the greater than sign, and we have the $1. And what that does is it tells cron to redirect any output to the same place that we're putting the output from the first place. It's a bit complicated, I know. It's a lot simpler when you see that, and you'll see examples of this in the show notes. But let's go and talk a little bit now about what the fields are, the tabs are. And the tabs that we have, the first one is the minute, and this controls the minutes of the hour that the command will run on. And this is between 0 and 59. And the next field is the hour field, and this controls what hour the command will run on, and it's specified on the 24-hour clock, and it starts at 0 and it runs to 23, where 0 is midnight. So you're kind of guessing it. The next one is the day of the month, and the day of the month it's going to run on. So if you have 19 in there, it will be the 19th it'll run on, regardless of what day of the week it is. And then the next field is the day of the week. So if that specifies the day it'll run. So 0 to 7 is allowed on most systems, where 0 is Sunday and 7 is also Sunday. And then we have the command itself that's going to run. So giving you some examples. So if we had asterisk, so 01 asterisk 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 asterisk, and that command would run 1 minute past the hour, every hour. If we had 17 space 8 asterisk asterisk asterisk, that command would run daily at 17 minutes past 8 every morning. If we have 1720 space asterisk asterisk asterisk, that command would run at 8 p.m. well, 17 minutes past 8 p.m. If we had, for instance, 004 asterisk asterisk 0, that command would run at 4 a.m. every Sunday. Or if we had asterisk 4 asterisk asterisk sun, S-U-N, that would also run at 4 every Sunday. Now I'm reading these from one of the cron manuals. And that is pretty much it for cron. A very, very simple command. Does one thing, does it well. Hope you find that interesting. I will talk to you again on Hacker Public Radio. Now, last month I recommended a podcast called Spud Show, and it was fantastic to get feedback both from Chess. I'd like to thank Chess for his kind feedback on Mashpotter, and I'd also like to thank Brendan for his feedback on recommending his show Spud Show, and especially like to thank him for putting a special show together, show 400, with all the recommendations that I had in my last show. So it's well worth a listen. I've listened to it about 10 times already. Now, today I would like to continue on with recommending other podcasts here, and recommending a podcast by our very good friend Dan Lynch of the, you might know him as one of the Outlaws on Linux Outlaws, and he has a show called Rat Hole Radio, which is absolutely brilliant. This show reminds me of a show that I used to listen to when I was going to college, and it was one of the pirate stations, and there was this old crodger, not to say that Dan is anyway an old crodger, but he used to play the weirdest stuff, going from one thing to the next thing, and you know, it's just absolutely fantastic to get a nice good mix. And Dan's motto over there is there's only two types of music. There's music he likes and the music he doesn't like. So I recommend that as this month's show to listen to, go ahead and definitely subscribe to Rat Hole Radio if you can. And he's actually putting on a show in Liverpool next year, which I would very, 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 very tempted to try. Well, next year is actually this year. Try and get over to. I doubt I will be able to, but yeah, all success with that. Anyway, that's this month's recommendation. And just to remind you that you can also pick up a mic and send in a show to HPR. We are a community radio station supported by you, the listener. And ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for listening.
Thank you for listening to Hack Republic Radio. HPR is sponsored by Caro.net, so head on over to caro.net for all your hosting needs.